Infendo Radio is on now.
Citizens, look around. Can you hear that fearsome sound? There's a menace that's encroaching. Something alien's approaching. Join the team that goes by codename Steam. Pick up your pack and march to fight back the monster. What a team. They call them codename Steam. United they stand with every woman, child, and man. Yes, the American dream won't run out of steam. Not with you and our team. No, sir. Citizens, look sharp. If you fear the future's dark, a righteous cloud's a-coming that'll send those creatures running. It's the team that I call codename Steam. Soaring the skies, they've got their sights on the monster menace. No, don't scream, just call for codename Steam. Oh, when things look rough, you'll find they're always up to snuff. Codename Steam, a strike team handpicked by President Lincoln himself to defend America. No, the world from the terrible alien threat. Armed with the latest in steam technology, they're all that stand between us and total annihilation.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 344. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
What's up, everybody?
And Colin Crompton.
Yes, we are back.
Our vacation's over.
Yes, we are back from vacation with a two-part structure episode for you. We're going to start with what we've been playing, and then finish off with some Nintendo news. So, to kickstart what we've been playing, Harrison.
Yeah?
What you been up to?
Wow. I finally stopped neglecting Smash Brothers for like the last month or so, and I finally was able to pick that up and just kind of do trophy hoarding for about the next few hours. And don't you know, thing is, when you actually play through All-Star mode in like Smash Brothers or any iteration, is that once you play, you get your usual mains down, and like, okay, you speed through it, pretty simple. Yeah. But then you get into those characters that you just never would touch, and even on easy, just because for me, I just put it in there like, I just want the trophy, that's it, I just want to get here through stress-free. And yet it just becomes such a frustrating experience overall when I'm playing it is either, I don't know, a character that...
Because, yeah, what's your weak character then?
Well, not necessarily a weaker character, but just characters that I don't know their moveset either way. I mean, yeah, granted, Smash's moveset is pretty simple, but something as far as knowing how powerful their Smash attacks are or what their recovery is. I mean, there have been so many times when I've been playing, like, just through All-Star mode, and just something stupid happens where I'm, like, three-fourths of the way done, and it's like, oh, fall off dead, and I'm like, well, this was just wasted 10 minutes of my life. But I did that for a little bit. I mean, my roommate and I, we actually went back and played online for a little bit more, and still fun as ever, but again, what I always say with online, I recommend if you're having two-player online, do that, because as opposed to, like, you know, four-player free-for-all, you're not dealing with, like, four connections to bring up, a serious bit of lag. No, but yeah, Smash has been going fine there. I mean, I'm definitely holding a little bit more grip onto this than I did with Brawl years ago, because I think after about 3 months with that, I just lost interest.
Yeah, I was quite similar with Brawl. I'm not sure why, but yeah, it didn't really hold me for that long. I mean, we'd still pull it out for like local multiplayer when we could, but in terms of just collecting stuff, going through the mode and so on, I just kind of collected all the characters. And then I kind of left it to one side. I'm not sure what happened to that.
Yeah, it was after the subspace emissary, or after I finished that, which was just, I felt, I think I'm done here.
Maybe that was it, because that mode was so huge and such a grind. Yeah. It's like, well, you wanted to like complete it just to see all those crazy cutscenes, but by the time you put all those hours in, you felt, all right, I'm gonna have to put this down now. have a break.
I mean, to be honest, though, I find the most recent Smash to be the least engaging one that I've played.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, least engaging. Wait, least engaging as in terms of playing, or you know,
I haven't touched Smash on Wii U for quite a while now, and I haven't even reached the 10-hour achievement that you get. It's remarkable. I was quite shocked because I love Smash, but I still think that the Wii one and Melee had that much more. It just appeals to me more. For some reason, I'm just not attached to this one as much.
Yeah, well
I don't know. It just I felt like I've said in previous, like when we originally talked about it, is that I felt like the Wii U version. It just, the thing that turned me off about Brawl was that it was just so slower compared to Melee, and this one is just a nice balance in between. It just, I don't know, it's one that makes me pick up and play again a little more. I mean, maybe granted, though, is that, I don't know, I didn't have a GameCube controller at the time or with me in college, like the controllers with me to play on Smash Brawl, so, and I don't have them here for my Wii U version, even though I don't have the adapter, but it's, that just, there's tons of content to get with it, but I just feel like it's a little more deeper. With Brawl, it just felt like Subspace Emissary was that little mode just to hide everything to say, like, oh, this is such deep content. And like, no, it's just, it's a straightforward mode, kind of like a weak platformer that's disguised, well, a fighting game disguised as a platformer.
Yeah, and it dragged on way too long, especially that later a maze at the end.
The Great Maze, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great Maze Offensive. essentially. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Colin, you were saying about how the Wii version of Smash hasn't held you as much, or held your interest. We obviously do have more content coming in the future.
True.
Maybe it'll pull you back. I'm just trying to think what we got. We got the stage editor sharing features, as well as an extra Miiverse stage. Obviously, you've got Mewtwo.
Obviously, this was disproven about... Did you guys read about that? And this fooled me for about 5 minutes until I realized, okay, this has got to be a really good Photoshop job.
I don't know what this is.
Is this
an Ubisoft character coming up?
Yes, the Rayman DLC. And I wanted to believe that so much.
Yes,
really?
Did I.
You wanted Rayman in Smash? I know.
I wanted to believe it so much.
Yeah, ironically, I think he would actually make a good character in terms of like a fighter in that game.
Oh, yeah, it'd be interesting. But
yeah, good moveset. And just such a troll, the legacy of Rayman on the Wii U.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, that's okay.
But that's what I've been playing lately. Obviously, I haven't gotten around to the latest Kirby title, but I did play around with the Codename Steam demo for about a few moments.
So did you complete the demo?
I did not.
I think it's quite long.
That is. I got to a point where I was like, okay, I think I'm done here for a little bit. But obviously for the production, like for how far Intelligent Systems has gone when making strategic games like this, I like how it's presented visually on the 3DS. Yet getting to its combat it's taken me a while to get used to, because obviously you are moving in a grid-based form based on, like, you know, your Steam pack. Like, obviously everything's based on Steam. Once you move your character, like, say, you know, whatever certain amount of blocks, and if enemies see you, you know, they can attack you. Whereas if they don't see you, you know, they obviously will not. I'm probably getting this backwards a little bit, but it just didn't hook me right there for a moment. And it just, it's one of those things where I'm like, I have to wait to see what other people think about it. I mean, that sounds like a really big crime for me to, like, oh, I had to wait how people think about this game. But it just, this is a game I was excited for, but more I read about it. And then when I played, I was like, I don't know. It's one of those games that I feel like Intelligent Systems, that kind of a format and gameplay mechanic that they're experimenting with, that may just fall a little bit flat.
It's a tricky one, because I'm a huge fan of their games. But yeah, I'm completely with you on the demo. Something seemed to be not quite right. But I've got so much faith in them. I'm just kind of assuming it's a thing now where it's just a bad demo. Whereas in the full game, they'll introduce you slowly to the mechanics, or do it in a way where it's got, you know, it's an interesting part of the story, or it just does it in a way that engages you more. And then it kind of tricks you into learning all these different strategic elements. and then
it's just kind of odd for me to work with two units, as opposed to like, I mean, I know it's trying to separate, they're trying to separate themselves from just being like, oh, it's just a clone of Fire Emblem, but in a 3D space, but it just felt so very disjointed, just having two members of your party just having to get through one area. I mean, it's not essentially kill all the enemies to win basically the map, it's a matter to get to point A to point B, and that's, I'm hoping that's a little bit different moving on. But I did learn today that Nintendo America did mention that Will Wheaton is voicing Abraham Lincoln, and I...
There's a bit of uproar on their own Twitter account.
Do you think that's a good choice?
Well, I'll be honest, I've not actually heard his samplings from the game, so until I do, it's hard to comment.
It's your whole judgment, yeah.
You know, in terms of him doing an Abe Lincoln voice, I'm sure he's qualified.
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly, yeah.
But no, that's all I've been playing right lately, like those. But I'm gonna hold that on codename Steam. Did I just call it Project Steam earlier on? I'm trying to remember. But yeah, I did.
I think I was calling it Project Steam for quite some time.
Yeah, I think that's what it was called originally when.
I think it was always codename, but I've. For whatever reason, I think me and many other people just called it Project.
It just sounds better than it. Project Steam. Yeah,
it does.
All right, excellent. So, Colin, I hear you may have picked up the latest Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
It sounds like something you might do.
Yes, it is. I mean, rather surprisingly. So my life's been on hold for a while now, because I've been sinking my time into Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. And it's really good. I mean, it's the great thing about the Monster Hunter series is that series that it hasn't changed a whole lot since the original came out in 2004. So if you've played any of them, you can just jump into the next one without any real introduction needed. The game itself is great. It's fine. It's it's the first one where it's like exclusively for handheld, and in that the online comes with the handheld as well. Whereas in all the previous games, if you want to play online with the handheld, you needed a console to link to go online. It was always a bit convoluted. But there has been some sacrifices made to the online infrastructure, at least the presentation of it. In other words, I mean, in 3U, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, on the Wii U, you can use the chat functionality while you're hunting, so you can openly talk to anyone while you're hunting, which is really useful because you can strategize, you can plan attacks, that sort of thing. The problem with 4 Ultimate is you're strictly limited to pre-written phrases,
ooh,
which doesn't really help. Ooh. When you're trying to adjust to a certain situation, you've got to pick the phrase that kind of suits the moment, you know?
You can't even jab at a small keyboard.
No.
Not that would be incredibly ideal, but, you know.
The keyboard is limited just to when you're in the gathering hall.
Oh.
So if where you meet up to go online. Yeah, it's you can talk then, but when you're actually hunting something, which is where you need the keyboard the most, you know, you can't actually use it.
That's quite peculiar. I mean, I heard that the voice chat was gone, and I assumed it was some sort of technical reason. But, yeah, that wouldn't, to my knowledge, excuse text chat. I can't imagine that taking up any sort of bandwidth. You know, sending across a string of characters.
But, I mean, plus the problem with, even then, the keyboard, on the Wii U, the keyboard was great because obviously the Wii U's got the touchscreen on the gamepad. It's quite big, so it's quite easy to type. The keyboard on it's quite cramped. And I've got an XL, and it's still very cramped. You end up jabbing the letter next to the one you wanted, and it takes forever to type anything. So that's probably my main niggling thing about it. It just feels like that's a slight step back from 3 Ultimate, but everything else is a massive step forward.
That's cool. Actually, while on the subject of comparisons between this and 3 Ultimate, because obviously you played both the 3DS and the Wii U versions, right, of 3 Ultimate?
That's right, yeah.
And so, not having the Wii U option for 4, how does it compare going from the Wii U version to the 3DS version from 3 to 4?
The great thing about series is that it doesn't actually feel that much different. I mean, it's because on the 3DS you get the touchscreen keyboard. I mean the touchscreen directional pad.
Yeah.
Which and things like that. So that feels like a second stick almost, but you're using the.
Yes.
Yeah. So the functionality, basic functionality wise, it feels exactly the same.
As opposed to what you'd see in, you know, obviously Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, but would you think probably if you had like new 3DS, it would actually work pretty well with that second analog, like that C stick, or
I don't know, because I played 3 Ultimate on 3DS, I thought that the touchscreen D-pad worked surprisingly well. I didn't think it required a second stick. I mean, I even had a Circle Pad Pro, but I never used it. To play Monster Hunter, because it wasn't required. Plus, the lock-on function takes care of most of the camera problems anyway. So yeah, comparisons-wise, I mean, yeah, it doesn't feel any drastic. There's no drastic changes been made. It uses the same layout from the 3DS version of 3 Ultimate to the 3DS version of 4 Ultimate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really good.
I guess the real question is, have you taken a note of how many hours you've sunk into it already?
I have. would you like me to tell you?
Well, seeing as I asked, yes, please.
Okay. 138 hours and 44
minutes. Whoa!
Yeah. and the game came out 3 weeks ago.
You crazy hunter, you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the family-friendly version.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you enjoyed 3 Ultimate, I would strongly, strongly recommend 4 Ultimate because it's just got everything, but more.
So I assume on the same token, if you tried 3 Ultimate or any of the Monster Hunter games before it, mm-hmm. and it didn't click with you, is there anything in this one which might change your mind that you've seen?
I've heard it being said around a lot that the 4 Ultimate is like the most accessible game in the series. I don't think that's technically true. It starts off really simple. Really nice and easy, which is, you know, yeah, sounds great. But the difficulty jumps up quite quickly. Oh, there's quite a step up. Once you clear the basic quests and you move on to hunting the big monsters, yeah, they'll kill you, like, pretty quickly. Whereas, I think 3 Ultimate is the perfect new beginner game.
Yeah. Okay.
That brings you in a lot gentler. You know, the way they introduce things is a lot more user-friendly. Yeah, if you're going to get into this series, I would suggest Ryu first, and then move up to 4U.
Yeah, might as well be a cheaper option as well.
I'd agree on that. Yeah, a little
bit.
All right, I think we'll move on to myself then. I recently went away on a holiday, and whatever better reason is there to pick up new portable games, or even a new portable system. So I treated myself to the new 3DS Not XL. And so I've essentially upgraded.
So you have the new 3DS standard model.
I do, yes. So before that I had a 3DS XL, and so I've gone down a size in screens, which
I still can't find one here in the States. I mean, well,
not XL.
But, I mean, but not to cut you off, is that when I figured out, like, how is the system transfer going to go in about this, and since Nintendo switched to micro SDs.
Yeah.
And here's the middle ground, like, the middleman to this. I need a computer for this. Yeah, I mean, I could probably borrow somebody else's to do this, but as soon as I heard that, I was like, I will wait a while for that.
I was going to say, well, technically you don't need the PC, but then you get into one of those horror stories where you need two chargers because the thing will take, like, 24 hours or whatever.
Ugh. Oh, wow.
Because you can do it just wirelessly without a computer. It will beam the data from one wirelessly to the other, but apparently it's horrendously slow. Especially if you've got, like, downloaded retail games.
Wait, so basically I would be taking my regular 3DS XL, and if I were to transfer to, well, here in the States, since we have the new 3DS XL, I would just be doing it wirelessly?
Yes, as long as you've got the card of enough capacity in there.
That sounds risky as hell.
Somewhat.
Yeah, I think it's fairly safe. It's just really slow. I don't know why it's so slow, but apparently that's all. Yeah, but in terms of my own new 3DS usage, the reason why I went for the smaller one is because there were like some times when I had the XL and I did, not while playing it, just by moving it around or sticking in a pocket or something, I thought, it is a bit big for a portable system. And I didn't necessarily think much of it, but when the decision came round to choose one or the other, I thought, I'll go back to the small one. It's a bit weird going down, to be completely honest. The screens seem absolutely tiny, even though they are bigger than the original, which I was perfectly happy with at the time. But yeah, the regular one does seem quite small for me, and I'm still getting used to it. But in terms of the device itself, I mean, it feels like a bit more premium than the original one or the XL. I'm not sure how the XL feels, but I was quite surprised because it's hard to describe really, but it's more in line to what, say, the DS Lite was, where it's just a lot more simpler design. It's just a lot of straight edges, opposed to the kind of the weird grooves and bumps the original had, and that was mostly improved with the XL.
Yeah, the original 3DS is like the button layout for like the home menu and start and select.
Yeah, the weird.
That was, I don't know, that felt very, what's the word? They just didn't feel like actual buttons.
Yeah, they felt to me like they were almost like they put the surface on top of the buttons, which you have to push through.
That's right.
But yeah, no, in terms of what's actually new of the new 3DS, the C-Stick, or the... Yeah, it's a C-Stick, isn't it?
It's a C-Stick, yeah.
It works fairly well. It takes a little bit of getting used to. It doesn't seem quite right at first, but when you're actually playing games which use it, it seems absolutely fine.
So how much does it actually move?
It doesn't.
It doesn't?
Well, I've got it here.
It moves, but do you actually...
Well, it moves a tiny bit. It's like, we're talking like a millimetre.
Wow.
It's, as you've heard from everyone else, probably like one of those little laptop nubbins. But you're using it with your thumb, so it does feel completely different still.
Does it feel controlled? I mean, does it feel...
Yeah, fairly so. Yeah. You kind of just slightly rock your thumb like back and forth on it. But it is obviously different to the circle pad, and it is going to be a secondary thing. But in terms of like rotating a camera around as you're like walking in a different angle on the other stick, yeah, it's absolutely fine for, which is pretty cool. One thing which isn't as good, in my opinion, are these extra shoulder buttons.
I mean, yeah, because they're more in.
Yes.
You have to reach over the originals to...
Yes. So we're going to the brilliant design of the original classic controller, where the L and R and ZO and ZR are all on the same strip, as it were.
Yeah, same line.
So yeah, you have to stretch over the other button. But putting it on the portable makes the buttons even smaller. And so these buttons are absolutely tiny, especially on this model here. But yeah, there aren't any games I'm aware of which actually use them. Although I think in Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, you can customize them to do certain things.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
But by default, they just work the same as the, you know, R and ZR will do the same function by default. So they probably didn't think a huge amount of it. It'd be interesting to see if or what games do take advantage of that. Or if it was purely for support for the classic controller Pro.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking maybe, like, first of all, certain Wii games, like the upcoming...
What were we talking about? The Circle Pad Pro, not the classic controller.
The upcoming Xenoblade, you know, that's obviously going to use them at some point, I should think.
Possibly. I can't remember what they did on the... If they were actually used or not on the Wii.
I don't recall.
I do remember playing on the classic controller. But yeah, I'm getting distracted. But alongside the system, I did pick up or download of a Majora's Mask 3D.
Oh.
And Majora's Mask ranks...
Something I haven't been able to pick up yet.
Yeah, that game ranks, or the original ranks extremely highly in my, games in general and in Zelda games. And I'm being really... Really, really happy with the 3D version. I managed to play through 3 of the 4 dungeons so far, which is a fair bit of gaming time for me, at least of recent time. And it runs really well. I mean, it's kind of like how you remember it, but it's a game I've tried to go back to in recent years and have never managed to get very far in it since. I have completed the original version, but when I've tried to play it back on the Virtual Console, I've just, for whatever reason, I've just not been able to get very far in it. And I think partly due to like the slow frame rate compared to modern games. There's just a lot of things which haven't aged quite well. I mean, there's some things which have aged perfectly, like just like the mood of the game and so on, but just certain, like, not even so much the mechanics, but like you have to do things in a certain order, or how you have to, you know, again, jump into menus to switch masks, or little things like that. And I think the 3DS version addresses lots of just little issues, as well as like huge performance improvements. I'm having a really good time with this.
I have one question.
Oh, go on.
Does Link still do the crazy jumps and flips when he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
and there's more of those crazy flips than I remember. So I only remember him from like that very first scene, like obviously when you're chasing after Skull Kid, and you come across the stumps, and you just are going for the normal thing, and then you start flipping over, and you go, "Ah, this is awesome."
I never understood. I was like, because in Ocarina of Time, he never did that. Okay. I was like, in Majora's Mask, he sadly thinks he's in a John Woo film. You know, he's flipping all over places. Like, okay,
but it's missing the dubs though.
Oh yeah, it's just true.
No, in John Woo's version, it's Kuko's.
So yeah, I mean, a lot of the improvements in this are kind of like the same improvements we had for the 3D version of Ocarina of Time, but I think some of them are more beneficial here. Just like little things, like the fact that you can have like an extra couple of slots on the touchscreen for item assignment. The fact that you do end up switching through a bunch of masks in certain scenes, so you can like have some of those for the, you know, your touch icons, as it were, and have your other slots available for your equipment, and there's far less switching around. And even things like the map, and obviously the Bomber's Notebook has just a complete overhaul in this. It's like got its built-in alarm system. You can like actual set in-game alarms for certain specific times to remind you of events. And any time, and I thought this might be a bit hand-holdy at first, but I actually do quite like it while playing it, is any interaction you do which would eventually end up in completing like a stamp in the Bomber's Notebook, it will put like a notification of what's happened and like what the link will be next, sort of thing.
So it still counts on there, but it's like...
Yeah, but it kind of helps you keep track of it all. And like, so certain things you may not think is part of a greater task, it will give you a hint that, oh, there's something to go next. You found out this information, and it like, points you in the right direction. But I think that's really cool, especially now it's in like a portable game.
Yeah.
To keep track of those things. Yeah, just but presentation overall, absolutely fantastic. Obviously, as I was saying, like the mood and the theme and the dungeons themselves, all that sort of things, all held up really well. And the fact that they've just kind of gone through and given it all this extra polish, it's really great. Although you're saying that, as I'm singing its praises, there is a element of this game which really frustrated me. And I've not completed it yet, so there may be more. But I'm not sure if it's worse than the original, or if it's just something which could have been used improvement from the original. But the swimming as the Zora,
yeah.
I don't remember it being frustrating, but in this, I was having a lot of trouble.
I think it's a little more troubling because I think in that 3D space, though, when you had the N64's joystick, you're able to kind of judge the depth, I guess, whatever, while even pointing downward on this one, whereas the circle pad, it's just going left, right. I mean, you're going in down and directional, whatever, on the, control stick. But no, I can picture what you're saying. And on this one, I mean, I didn't find it on the N64 to be frustrating, but now that you mention it, I'm thinking, okay, this could be bad.
Actually, I think what you've said actually is kind of trigger what the issue may be, which is something I've not mentioned yet, and this is a game which does support the C-stick. So you can spin the camera around, which is really useful. And so I think that the swimming part, the controls are very direct to how the game used to be. And I don't think it works quite with the fact that you can play the rest of the game kind of like a dual stick game, as in you can run around and just like move the camera around with the other stick at the same time, and that feels fine. But when you're swimming as the Zora and you're doing the fast swim, whatever it's called, when you like push up on the circle pad, you kind of swim up-ish, and down you swim down, as opposed to like being able just to move the camera and point forwards to just keep heading, you know, into the center, which is kind of like the modern game idea or blueprint or whatever. You just kind of move the camera around and just point forwards. Whereas I think in this you have to, well, you don't have to move the camera, but you're kind of actually moving which direction you're going just with one stick. And it does get quite confusing. And I'm not sure if it's just that, but something didn't seem quite right. I'm not sure if it's me or the game, but that one particular area was really frustrating me.
You've gotten through the three of the four dungeons, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So I assume the Great Bay Temple, the boss that you're facing, the giant fish, which is called Georg. Georg, yeah. I always thought when I was a kid, I looked at it, I was like, George? What?
George.
No, when you mentioned as far as how bad, I guess, the swimming mechanics as the Zora is, I'm thinking, like, I guess that you had quite a bit of trouble on that boss.
Well, that boss has quite a bit of an overhaul. It wasn't
really.
Actually, yeah, it wasn't too bad for him. My big frustration with the swimming, and I won't go on for it any longer than this, is I was trying to get the bottle by raising those beavers in the Great Bay Area before the temple, and I was playing it for absolutely ages. And I think I almost used a whole 3-day cycle trying to do the thing, and I just gave up and said, "All right, I'm just going to go into the temple." But yeah, the bosses seem to have had a small redesign, but this one in particular has had a big one. But yeah, they've all got an extra element, it seems, and it seems to come along with like an extra eye. I'm not sure how that connects, but yeah, there's been some additional design to these bosses, which is pretty cool. But yeah, overall, very impressed. I'm looking forward to finishing it as well. To tell note, I do like the new 3DS. With this in mind, I may have gone with the bigger one. But I do like the idea that I could try and seek out some rare cover plates later on and snap them on.
Unfortunately, here in the States, choice between a regular and an XL is non-existent.
Exactly.
We have no choice. Us Americans are far too large for our hands. We need something bigger.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if you do live in America or somewhere where you can't buy the new 3DS, I wouldn't feel, I'm probably not in a great position to say that, but I don't think the having just the choice of the XL is a terrible thing, because to be completely honest, if you feel it's comfortable to hold the XL, then I think the big screens do go a long way, and I don't think you're missing out a lot with the cover plates as such. Yeah, as long as you find the device comfy to use, then that's probably the one I would advise for you to get, even though I've got the smaller one here.
The only question I was going to ask about the new 3DS, the standard. On the original 3DS, on the standard original 3DS, the buttons were tiny. Are the buttons still like super small on the new 3DS?
I've not actually compared it directly, but they seemed fine while playing games.
Okay.
And any small niggle I've had is with the L and R buttons are now a bit smaller because they've got the ZO and ZR pushed a bit next to them. But they're not too bad because you just press them on the corners. But it does seem a bit odd. But yeah, but the C-stick is very nice to use. If you're playing a game which utilizes that, it may be worth it. Especially if you're going to pour dozens, if not more, hours into a certain hunting game. But then again, as you said, that game does have a nice alternative.
It does.
So that's not the end of the world. Oh, actually, one thing I probably should mention before we move on to the news is the 3D effect.
Oh, of course. The yeah. The
super stable 3D. I think that's what
super stable.
Super stable.
Or did I make that up? I like the word super. but it's pretty good. It works as advertised. It's one of those weird things that having used a 3DS, you just assume it wouldn't work just because, you know, you move it a little bit and you lose that 3D, and it's not a huge issue normally. But yeah, the new one works advertised in the sense that if you do tilt it horizontally, it does keep that focus. Again, that's not a huge thing on its own, but the real nice thing about it is not only in the new games, but old games utilized like accelerometer and motion aiming, things like that, as well as having 3D support. Previously, it was a choice from one or the other. But with the new stable 3D, you can in fact do both. So you can have the 3D on, and for example, in Majora's Mask 3D, you can like hold the Z targeting mode, and you can, you know, slightly tilt the 3DS, you know, to move the camera around, and it doesn't break the 3D whatsoever, and that's really quite cool. And especially with like aiming with the bow and such, I actually really like how that works. How you can just like very slightly move the system and it very accurately moves, you know, your weapon with it. But before I'd have to, you know, either do the 3D or even do that. But it is nice to have the option to do both. And the fact it works with the older games too.
I think the problem with that is it's a null point for me, because I must be in the vast, vast, vast minority that I have never used the 3D effect on the 3DS ever.
Ah, but okay. Why have you not used it?
Generally, one, I'm not really interested in it.
Fair enough.
Two, it's
too much hassle.
No, it's just that I can't see 3D well anyway.
Oh, fair enough.
I never have. So it's always been a bit, you know.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to help then in that sense. But I think a lot of people may have just turned it off just because it was a bit too much hassle in the end. It's just a lot easier to, you know, to leave it off and enjoy your portable game. But when you can kind of rest it at pretty much most angles, basically anything where you're going to be looking at the screen anyway, and it tracks the 3D, I think that's going to keep a lot of, well, people who actually use the system to keep that slider up. I guess the only downside now is the battery. True. That's still a thing.
Is that still quite low? Or?
To be fair, according to what Nintendo's saying, the new models pretty much match up the same, although a little bit more, but not much, than the current 3DSs.
So you look at 3.5 hours or so?
Yeah, 3.5, and that extends to 6 or something. I assume that's if you turn the 3D off, turn the brightness down, wireless off, and so on. That sort of thing. So yeah, good all round. It's tricky to say whether it's worth the upgrade or not. I guess it really, you just have to kind of look at the individual bits it gives you. If you like the idea of 3D, but again, it's too much of a hassle now, or you think the C-Stick's going to be quite cool, again, playing through Majora's Mask with that second stick has been pretty cool. It's hard to say if I didn't know about it, if I'd be missing out playing through Majora's Mask without it. It's pretty damn good game anyway. But yeah, I think it pretty much comes down to, if you want to spoil yourself on some Nintendo gear, it's a good way to do it. But I wouldn't, you know, put yourself out of pocket to get one of these new systems.
So if you say I've got a standard, you know, 3DS XL, so would you say the upgrade would be worth it to get a new 3DS XL now, or wait until?
I'm going to wait on my half, just even though the remake of Xenoblade Chronicles is enticing.
Oh yeah, obviously that's the other thing, but to be completely honest, I don't think we're going to see much on that side of exclusive content. I think Xenoblade Chronicles is going to be the biggest piece of exclusive content we see on it, and it's obviously the only one announced so far.
Yeah, probably.
But it is a pretty cool system. Obviously, if you're some sort of crazy person listening to this who doesn't own any 3DS, it's the perfect time to buy one, because it comes out at the same price. But it seems those odds are quite small. But yeah, if you're itching for a new system, there's a lot of interesting tweaks. A lot more so, I would say, than the usual iteration we get on the portables.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. The startup, is it noticeably better?
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention that. Again, it's one of those little things. Yeah, I mean, it is fast. It's faster to boot up. It's a lot faster to go to the home menu. You can actually like browse Miiverse at a decent speed, opposed to like you would like scroll down a bit and you literally see just blank while it fills in the gaps for you in front of your eyes. But now it almost like going through Miiverse on like your cell phone is saying it's a big difference. But they are obviously a little like supplementary things. Again, if you're using a current 3DS, the fact it's slower than your new one, it's not going to stop you from using it. It's hardly going to be noticeable at the time. It's just, it's a nice to have feature. But it is good to see them add that sort of stuff in, whereas before they might have, just increased the brightness of the screens, and made it, a couple of millimeters thinner. I like how they have improved it from a bunch of different angles. And I think it's pretty cool. And again, the one I did complain about going down on the screen size, but it is nice again now to have a system I can easily stick in my pocket.
A portable, yeah.
Yeah, and I can get my play coins and my potential street passes, and I get that aspect of the 3DS again.
But did you never took the XL out and about?
Well, on occasion. But I did find after I upgraded from my original to the XL, I took it out a lot less.
Okay.
So yeah, that's my new exploits. And from that, I think it's only appropriate we go on to the actual Nintendo news. The first thing we have on our bullet points here today is Ollie Ollie. Not only is it confirmed to be coming out for the Wii U and 3DS, of time of recording, it has come out today, which is the 5th of March of the year of 2015. And not only is it coming out for both, or has come out for both Wii U and 3DS, it is a cross-buy title worldwide. Which means if you buy either Wii U 3DS version, you are eligible for the other for free. And the way it works for Ollie Ollie is basically if you buy one of the versions, when you browse the shop on the other system for Ollie Ollie, the game will essentially be discounted to free. And so they're not doing it through a download code like the upcoming Mario and Donkey Kong game, but a very slightly different method. But
this seems like a much cleaner method.
It is a much cleaner method, I'd agree. It almost seems odd how this has kind of beat it to the punch as well. Especially, I remember when Nintendo announced the whole kind of cross-buy thing for Donkey Kong, that you could even give the download code to a friend. Yeah. And it seemed a very weird message to send out.
Give it away. Give it away. It's like, hey, you want this on your console? Here you go. Why? Yeah. It's like, I just have it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think this is good, obviously, for both things. I mean, I've been intrigued from Ollie Ollie in the past. It seemed like a cool idea for a game. It's like a 2D Tony Hawk game, but set in actual levels. Mm. I'm genuinely quite intrigued to try this one out. But I think the fact it's cross-buy is going to give it a lot of buzz on the Nintendo side. Yeah. I think a lot more people will be looking at this than they necessarily would be otherwise. Which is good for them, really. I think it's a good opportunity for them and Nintendo. It's good to see a third-party game worldwide taking advantage of this. It's a big step, people.
Yeah, it's interesting to, like I say, how this is the first game to do this, and it's an indie title.
Exactly, yeah.
You would have thought Nintendo would have done this like way before, but apparently not.
I'm surprised they never did do that for like Shovel Knight, for instance. I mean, to begin with, but eh.
Yeah, maybe they just weren't quite ready yet. But then it's an interesting one, because a lot of this is going to be down to the publisher, as it were, so they'll have to make a call on each one, whether it's going to be worth doing it or not. I don't think it's been running long enough to say either way whether doing cross-buy is essentially more profitable to us for a set of two games than it is to not do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely gives both publishers and consumers options. And I definitely think in this case it's going to be much beneficial for Ollie Ollie. But yeah, hopefully we'll get a lot more indies and other companies taking advantage of cross-buy. Now it's essentially...
I think it's we're in the phase right now where it's probably going to become a little bit more common on the eShop. So,
well, we've had the first example yet, and this the second is announced. But yeah, definitely. Hopefully we'll see more. And takes us on to our next piece of news, which is essentially new 3DS related. Unfortunately, not XL, which is, I guess, the second wave of cover plates are coming to Europe. And to be completely honest, most of these aren't really newsworthy, in my opinion. We got a bunch of, like, the geometric shapes and the polka dots, those type of designs.
Oh, just nondescript.
Exactly.
Not attached to a series. Or
this does not affect me as however, us Americans don't get the nice little faceplates.
No, however, I chucked it in here, both to address this piece of news and another so I can rant about it. The ninth of these cover plates is this really nice design based off Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. And it's just two red plates. But one of them has like this real close up, the Monado. And so it's got like the circle of the Monado and like, I guess, the hilt. And it's really nicely done. If it was just kind of printed on the console, I would have said it was probably like their nice, like, it's hard to describe, but kind of cleanest, just, I guess, good looking in general type console print job. However, I think a day or so after the pre-orders opened, they were sold out. So it's quite annoying, really. I mean, this cover plate doesn't come out for quite some time, yet a day after the pre-order, the thing seems to be sold out, and it's only being sold from Nintendo's online store. So I hope they get stock back in at some point. They've not alluded to. I just hope it's not one of those things that, well, you missed out.
yeah. Sounds like an amiibo type situation.
Yeah. So now I guess it's a tricky one because it's their own fault, really. But obviously, they fragmented the market. I mean, obviously, it's they didn't release them in America, and so on the Europe side, that only the ones who opted for the smaller ones can buy these. So they're probably going to make them in limited quantities, but. One day of pre-order is just a bit silly. So hopefully they're going to do some nice promotional things, cover plates for games going up in the future, that they're not so, so limited runs that you really need to be just, I don't know, checking Twitter 24 hours a day for potential cover plate reveals. just your standard person has a chance of just, you know, wandering in and buying one of these cool designs, and it doesn't turn into amiibos all over again. But yeah, now I have my little Xenoblade cover plate rant.
That design looks so...
Exactly, you've seen it now?
Yeah, I think I've seen photos of it, but I just got to settle for something else on that.
Well, yeah, so do I. I've got the system. But yeah, we move on now to a reveal of a Japanese title coming over here, which is Box Boy. I don't think this is something we covered previously, but it's a game which was released and announced only shortly ago. I think it was last month?
I think it was January, because they announced... Yeah, because it was only available, Box Boy was only announced exclusively through the Japanese eShop, and when Iwata was talking about it, he had specifically mentioned that it was going to be available after the BAT presentation, so some people have been playing with it.
Definitely, and it's a very quirky-looking title. It almost looks like a sharper version of a Game Boy Classic game.
That's, do we forget to mention this is also done by HAL Labs? So
yes,
it is. People behind Kirby and when I first looked at this, it was just a black and white title with just maybe minimal cover, like color, when you only see with like the numbers on the boxes. But from what I see, this seems like a really nice love letter to old, like just the original Game Boy games.
Yeah,
it does indeed. Apparently, it's got 173 stages, which seems pretty cool. But yeah, I like the idea of having like a nice bite-sized puzzle game I can jump onto on my portable. I don't have one currently on my
You have my attention on my 3DS. You have Pushmo.
Yeah, I don't know. Pushmo didn't quite grab me. I don't know why. I do like the Wii U version, oddly. But again, I lost interest. But Boxboy could be the one. It looks good. And so I'm not sure we actually officially said, but the announcement was that it is in fact coming onto the North American eShop this spring.
Vague spring title, yes. I think. But
in the vague spring.
No. I was really glad this was going to announce. I mean, when I saw a little bit of footage of this back in January, and first thought was like, this has to come over here. It looks like a simple. I mentioned on Twitter that this is a PAL's known for kind of very simple platformers, but they have like a really decent charm to them.
Yeah.
And this one is just, yeah, I wouldn't really classify it as a platformer. I mean, it's a puzzle platformer. There we go. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay. Next thing we have is some more indie news. We've got three big indie titles which have been confirmed to be coming along to the Wii U. Including Don't Starve, Never Alone, and Octodad.
The last one I'm happy for.
I've been quite intrigued by Don't Starve as well. It's a game I've heard a little bit about, but I don't really know too much about it. So
it's got an interesting art style, I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to hear more about it, and you know, maybe I'll play it on my Wii U. But yes, I have to agree with you, Harrison, Octodad. That is a game I would like to play.
Yeah, this one's a little quirky indie title. Yeah, from about... when did this I first hear about this? I think it was like a year and a half ago, and it just stuck with me a little bit when I see Let's Plays of it.
Yeah, it just looks hilarious. So, I'm not entirely sure even how you control that thing. Are you using a stick each for a tentacle, or... I'm not sure.
Looking at it, it just like how... It just looked like it was frustrating to control, though.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of the point. It's just meant to be funny watching him fall over himself. Just trying to fight him walking, as it were. That is the challenge, just getting him from one side of the room to another.
But do we have any dates for any of these yet?
I don't believe we do. Just announcements that they're coming.
Yeah.
That's all I can pull anyway.
It just says Octodad, it just says summer.
Oh, okay.
That's yeah, a bit vague.
Okay, and alongside this, we also had some news of some other eShop releases. We've got Shantae Risky's Revenge, not to be confused with the recently released Shantae the Pirate's Curse, or Shantae Half Genie Hero, the Kickstarter project. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Risky's Revenge, if you can't quite remember, was the DSi title, which... This is the Director's Cut version, which was previously released on PC, and is now coming to both the Wii U and the 3DS later on in 2015. I think that would be an interesting one. I reckon probably makes a lot more sense on the 3DS than it does the Wii U. But I guess it also depends how much work they did on that Director's Cut version for the PC. Maybe they did a lot more than I'm thinking of. For people who haven't played the DSi version, I definitely recommend it. I did. I think I played it on my 3DS originally, one of the first things I was doing on the 3DS. And it was, I always thought it was a bit of a shame that I had to play it with the, you know, the black borders and so on. So, yeah, I assume this will remove all that, and it'll be a lot sharper graphics as well.
Yeah, Shantae is one of those series that I've heard a lot about, but I've still yet to play a single game from it.
Ah. Well, I would recommend Pirate's Curse, the most recent one for, well, you can get it for either 3DS or Wii U.
Oh, okay.
It's probably more at home on the 3DS, though. Yeah, I think that's a really good entry point to that series.
I shall look into it.
Ah, recommendation. Succeeded. And our final bit of news here is for a new version of Trine. So Trine 2 was a launch title on the eShop, I believe.
I think so.
Along with, I don't know, I think it was like three other eShop games. All which names are failing me now. But yeah, this is a special edition of the original Trine called the Enchanted Edition. and it is also on its way to the Wii U, and that actually has a date of March 12th. So very soon indeed.
Very soon, yeah.
I did play Trine 2. I'm not sure how soon.
I never did get around to that one.
Well, there was a lot of time around the launch. Well, I should say after launch. And yeah, there wasn't a huge amount on the eShop at the time, so I think I pretty much picked up everything on it, because it was like less than a handful of things.
You cleared out the eShop, yeah.
But it was exciting times. of moving away from like the Wii Shop channel.
Sure. Love that. It's kind of odd though, because Trine 2 was that like director's cut, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Trine 2.
So this is like a similar deal. This is like Trine the Enchanted Edition, so it's basically like a director's cut. Yeah, they recently announced Trine 3.
Yes, I did hear.
But we're not getting it.
No, not.
So it's not, like.
I'm not sure what they're making it on. Maybe it's something they'll announce later on, if it's possible. The fact that it's...
Possibly.
We've got Enchanted Edition coming out. It's not, obviously, that they just don't think the console is worth supporting, or why would they bother doing this?
True.
Yeah. Hopefully hear more about it. It's, from what I've played of 2, that was a cool game, so I assume the rest are pretty good. It's good to see... some more eShop support going on. I mean, we don't have an official feature here, and to be fair, the show is running a little longer than we initially expected.
Yeah, I did want to add, though, before the end of the show, all three games in the Donkey Kong Country series are now on the Wii U eShop.
Yes. And on the 3DS eShop, you got the Donkey Kong Land games, is it? Just Donkey Kong Country games on the Game Boy Classic. I can't remember what the naming convention was.
Wait, say again?
Like, if you used to. The free Game Boy Donkey Kong Country games came out at the same time, I believe.
Wait, are you sure it's those, or are you sure we're talking about the... I think we're talking about the Super Nintendo ones.
No, I believe it was both. The free Super Nintendo games and the free Game Boy games.
Oh, yeah, Lan. I was thinking, like, no, they did not, like, release, instead of the Super Nintendo versions, the Game Boy Advance ones. And I'm thinking, no.
Oh, yeah, that'd be terrible. Yeah, they released them on the Game Boy Advance Virtual Console for the Wii U.
That took them a while, just knowing Rare, like, they pulled them away from the Wii eShop, or the Wii Virtual Console shop a while back, and now they're back here again, so...
And we never heard why they pulled them, because we, in Europe, got them back sooner.
You guys have had them already in Europe already?
Yeah. And so I believe, like, it. Although obviously it's being mentioned that they are for the coming, well, they are back on the Wii U. Well, they've come for the Wii U anyway. They're back on the original Wii Virtual Console as well. There must have been a weird particular reason that they had to go for a certain period of time. Just the fact that I think they've brought them back to the Wii Virtual Console as well as onto the Wii U one. Does seem peculiar. However, peculiar it is, they are all fantastic games. Even the Game Boy ones are pretty good.
I always thought Donkey Kong Land ones were just really slimmed down versions of those. It wasn't until the advanced titles came out, you're like, oh, these are a little bit better.
They're quite derivative, so yeah.
Well, they are in a sense, but they're not ports per se. They do have their own levels and so on. They're just based off the themes. So, I don't know. I've not played any of them recently, but I remember at the time them being pretty cool. And, Maybe it was more of the graphical thing, seeing those graphics on a portable.
Yeah,
was pretty crazy, because it was pretty crazy that they're on the console in the first place on the
Super. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does bring us to the end of the show. So you can send your own comments and questions. You can send them to contact@infendo.com. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Infendo Radio.
See you, everybody.
Take care.
See you next time.
God, that episode. Jeez. Anyway, I gotta get going, guys. But thanks for like doing this on short notice. I'm sorry. I know you guys are all that busy, but until next weekend.
Yep.
All right. I don't know. Okay.
Have the camera set up for next time.
Okay. All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Catch you next time. Bye.
Take care, you two.